I am unashamed. What about you?
I know you have something.
What did I just do?
Off on a weekend.
Yeah. Got a haircut.
Yeah, talked about that.
What else is going on? What's going on with you, Phil? Have you done anything interesting?
Have you done anything interesting?
In the last 3 to 5 days?
When the solid food never comes, digesting the wrong food and behaving upon it, are digesting the right food and the things to follow. Constant digestion of the proper food, the scriptures.
Oh, okay.
Well, I didn't know.
You're scaring me, Phil.
Brings forth good, not evil, because the text says, solid foods for the mature who by constant use have trained themselves. If you're waiting on somehow God's going to train you, save you, he'll actually train you, but he's actually given you the food, which are the scriptures, according to Hebrews, the Hebrew writer, solid food, scriptures.
It's kind of what you put in.
For the mature, who by constant use have trained themselves to do something that's easy to do, really, to distinguish between good and evil. I mean, you take the scriptures, you take them in. If you don't take the scriptures in, show me a man that does not take the scriptures in, and I will show you what he's writing about. His graffiti, the word that keep coming up is F-U-C-K. You say,
"Yeah,
where'd that come from?" You're like, that's what he's been ingesting.
But I tend to read that.
He's incapable of distinguishing good from evil.
But Galatians 5:19 says the acts of the sinful nature are obvious.
Mm-hmm.
So that
case in point
is a factor.
When you see someone using that word to get their message out, you can say, no, I'm not running with them.
Right.
Not if that's what's...
That's usually a bad sign. I mean, I think I told this story before.
It's always a bad sign.
I was enamored with a young girl in high school that I thought was just the greatest looking woman I'd ever seen. And I thought, I must go out with this woman, or at least attempt. Mm-hmm. And so when I finally got around to meeting her, about the fifth word out of her mouth was the F-bomb.
Yep.
And I thought, okay, that's all that. I mean, I just immediately, because I just thought.
You were correct in your assessment.
Yeah, this is not what it seemed. And I didn't even want to go further down that road.
You made me think of something. It's telling you a story.
Really weird when you talk about food. And I do like the illustration of the Bible being food. But I got in this weird discussion the other night about, you remember the Wilson weenies? You remember eating those as a kid? Wilson weenies?
Sure.
Well, I do too.
Best weenies ever made.
But I Googled it on the computer because we had a discussion. Because now I don't eat weenies. Because once the Wilson weenies went out of business, that ended it.
Everything else is subpar.
It's subpar. But we were trying to find – I was telling Cole's girlfriend about it, and she was like, well, I need to know about that. I was like, it's the greatest weenie ever. I mean, it was making –
We could eat it. We ate them cold.
Oh, I called it raw. And Missy's like, I'm getting nauseous. I'm getting nauseous. I said, no, wait a minute.
They're cooked.
I know, but they were just the greatest.
You didn't have to heat them up, is what you're saying.
What happened was, so for whatever reason, I can't figure it out, it was the greatest weenie ever made, and they quit making them. So then through the years, other companies tried to imitate it because they were red, but they were horrible. I mean, they looked like a Wilson weenie, but you took one bite and said, nope.
They always had a snap about them, like when you eat them, they snap.
I said
snap.
The same thing.
Yeah. Popping weenies, they call them.
They were all getting not because, you know, now today in our culture, you know, my son was went to Pepperdine and his girlfriend, and now over there, every little thing is scrutinized about what you eat, you know, or drink. You know, you can't drink bottled water. I was like, what's wrong with bottled water? I'd heard of it. They're like, oh, no, there's some kind of chemical in the plastic that you're dead. You'll be dead in 10 years. You know, yeah. I'm thinking, I don't know.
I'm living proof that's not true.
Well,
you would have been dead a long time ago.
And I'm like, look, I'm trying to. So then it spawned in the conversation because then I started thinking, why are some of the greatest products ever, why have they been eliminated? You remember those Colonial honey buns?
Oh, the best.
The greatest honey bun ever. And I just looked up one day, and they were gone.
Yeah.
And I thought, I heard that they sold the company, but through all that, we now have no Colonial
honey
bun.
What was so good about the Colonial honey bun is it's like a ribeye steak. The outer ring on it was so tender, remember?
Yeah.
Like, it was all good, but the outer ring was just like
Nirvana.
And it wasn't
cakey.
No.
The honey bun was not cakey.
It would melt in your mouth.
And now the honey buns that are left,
about Colonial honey buns,
will make you gag.
Oh yeah, they're, you can't eat them.
And I'll take a bite. You know, my son had one. He got them out of a box. I said, "That ain't gonna be no good." And he said, "No, they're pretty good." You know, I took one bite. I said, "Nope, it's not a Colonial honey bun." It ruined me for all. So I don't know. Somebody
I wonder
may
how
know,
long they've been out, the off story. The market of Colonial.
But I thought about that on the Shipley's donuts. Remember that? I could literally eat a dozen of them in less than 3 minutes.
Mm-hmm. What was the ones over in Treeport? Not Minute Maid.
Wilson Rainey's.
No,
he's
donuts.
The donuts. The hot donuts.
What were they called?
Southern Maid.
Well, but I got the Shipley quite above that.
Really?
They're good.
Well, because they're so succulent, they're not heavy on you. So you could eat large quantities of them.
Which we did.
I mean, I ate them by the dozens. You know, and look at me. You think, it didn't.
Well,
it wasn't
that. You got a high metabolism.
I mean, now, Willie, okay. But you could make a case, too many Shipley's donuts, because we used to eat a dozen apiece
I'm into my 70s. I've eaten anything I ever wanted to eat and all that. You say, I'm in my 70s, and I still weigh in the 170s, so I'm not a heavy man. You say, but you got a little bit of insurance here. But the bottom line is, you know, so I've proven that you can eat donuts, pies, cakes, whatever. It doesn't affect your anything, as long as you kind of stay moving.
And, well, you know, my point
have
is,
a salad, you know.
I guess if you diversify your diet, you'll be better off. But I think an occasional – no, dozen donuts is not going to kill you, is what I'm saying. The problem is, what I was trying to figure out is why the best in breed, I gave you three examples, and they all went out of business. That's what I don't understand.
Either government regulations or just the cost of them making
maybe that's what it is.
The best materials are just more expensive.
And to be honest, Jace,
you know, all you get now, probably when you're eating a weenie, you're talking unborn calves, sick calves. You throw it up, make weenies out of them. And, you know, it's just if you're just eating scraps ground up real fine.
All right. Now you've ruined it for me. Well, I'll never eat another hot dog now.
Not that the meat manufacturers would do that.
Well, that's what Bill Angley always said. Oh, you don't want to eat weenies. That's lips and buttholes. That's what goes into that. That was his line about weenies.
They say the same thing about those little Vienna sausages. Which,
boy, we ate many of them growing up.
Of course.
Do you eat them now?
No. Unless I'm in a duck blind. Because in a duck blind, everything tastes better. But
I lean toward King Oscar sardines.
Well, that's a real good looking thing. I eat them too, but I mean, I'm saying when I'm looking at that, I'm thinking this can't be good for you.
Oh, it's very good for you.
I'm saying the guts and the half the head and
everybody that studies it, the health officials say sardines are a very, very healthy food.
I'll tell you this. When I
love it because Dad says it's like he's been real communicado with all the health
officials. Yeah, like I'm checking with them.
You're spending a lot of time, you and Dr. Fauci, sitting on the porch.
Tell you this.
They censored me twice, Zuckerberg and them, because I showed them how to pluck a duck and get him ready for a gumbo. They censored me, a violent man. Oh, yeah. Then I was a violent man for skinning catfish. They want you to eat them with the skin on, I guess.
Phil,
I don't
there's
know.
A reason they came up with the slogan, nobody wants to see how the sausage is being made.
Maybe that's what it is.
Oh, that's what it is. They're like, do it. We just don't want to see it. It's like my wife,
your family's gagging over a snapping weenie. I mean,
I said the wheels of weenie snap, and she went, "Oh, I can't listen to this." She got up and walked out because I talked about the greatest weenie ever had to have a snap. I said, "When you broke it open, yeah.
So it was if just anybody, the casing on it was a little bit thicker than.
If anybody knows what happened." To the Wilson
I'm
weenie,
sure some of our listeners will
the
know.
Colonial Honey Bun.
People out of Caddo Parish, Louisiana, will enlighten you on that. The people over around Shreveport.
Is that where it was made?
Yeah, as far as I know.
Well, I thought you had to get them out of a butcher shop.
No, they just had them in rural areas you could buy.
So it's just a Wilson. Small. It was
they came in a box, Wilson weenies, and
it was probably
the
like
people
McCain's
that hold
sauces.
Cotton way back, hold cotton and all out there, you know. They would wouldn't get paid but $3 a day. I hold it myself. And bologna, good bologna. I think they had a brand of bologna, too.
Oh, that's another one. Yeah. The bologna just fell off the, you know.
Yeah, it had a lot of bologna, but I don't know.
It's no good now. It all tastes kind of processed
now.
Yeah,
kind of gritty. It's kind of gritty.
Yeah.
I don't like a gritty meat.
It's no good. But you were talking about your sardines. I eat sardines and I enjoy them. But I noticed that I do – belch for the next 3 hours, you know,
because
so something in there is causing your body to say, wait a minute.
Yeah.
I'm just saying.
Do they give you indigestion?
It's all in his mind.
No, it's not. No. It comes up for 3 hours. Yeah. I convinced one of my buddies to try one, and he's like, yeah, it was better than I thought, except it lingered for hours. I said, oh, yeah, I forgot to tell you that. It doesn't go away.
And just from look, I don't eat sardines, but just from looking at them, I would think the comeback is probably not as good as the original go down.
No, but Phil's right. Those King Oscar, we have no affiliation with them, but I do. I got them up at the top. I don't know what they do. But
we learned that from some fellow duck hunters, the Morris boys up in Arkansas.
Yep.
You know, they recommended them, and I'm like, and he was really serious about it. The older man there, like me, the patriarch, he said King Oscar's on the way to go. So I tried him.
He was right.
I said, that old dude is on to something here.
Yeah, they're good.
So
I found out about sardines.
That's what I get filled for
from
Christmas.
A duck blind in Arkansas.
Are they imported from like the
I don't know,
Mediterranean?
But they're small sardines. Yeah. I noticed that. They're smaller.
Do they grow them here? I mean, do they?
No, they catch them. It's a wild caught.
I don't know much about the history of sardine. Do you know whether
you don't raise those?
No,
pond raise them.
It's something you have to just
catch them out of the ocean.
Put in your back of your mind when you're eating. I just wish they gutted them first. I'd feel better about it, but I eat it. Nah.
No,
but I agree with your principle, Phil. What you put in, especially from a biblical, because there's a lot of illustrations in the Bible.
Well, we've talked about us being made up of different parts. And so what you're describing, Dad, is the spiritual part of who we are. It's a nourishment, you know, the soul. It's the spirit. That's where the nourishment goes to that.
The Hebrew writer said the Bible verses are akin to food, but this is digested through your cranium,
through your
brain.
Thinking process.
Doesn't go in the mouth. It goes in the ears. Faith comes from hearing. You know, remember what you've learned. The Word of God is, you know, it's essential for
Well, he says
teaching.
You need solid food, not milk.
Solid food, not milk.
You remember John 6? He said, I'm the bread of life. You feed on me. I mean, right. It's the same. He uses that
solid food, these scriptures, is for the mature. They've been there, and they've applied these texts to their life. It goes into their head, their heart, which is your Bible heart, your head, your brain, and your body will respond accordingly. Definition of training is, remember, all scriptures God breathed, it's useful for teaching, correcting, and rebuking, and training in righteousness. You say, just train yourself to do what is right. So training is the action or method of the one that trains, the process or experience of being trained. Christians say, I don't know what I'm going to do. Phil, I'm kind of what? I mean, I cuss too much. I got too many filthy words coming out of my mouth. What's my problem? He hasn't taken the scriptures that says You don't want to have unwholesome talk coming out of your mouth. It's a poor reflection on the model, Jesus. No profanity coming out of him, right? No. Well, there shouldn't be any coming out of you. You can do this, but someone else can't do it for you. You train solid food, the scriptures. It's made for the mature. They've been there a while. It took me a while to clean my mouth up. You say, finally, no more cuss words. I mean, y'all been around me for what?
All our lives.
All your lives. You say, how much cursing did you ever hear come out of my mouth? Just read it back.
I mean, none after you became a Christian.
Yeah. I think three or four maybe the first couple of years.
The first right. year maybe.
That's
first
right.
few yeah. months.
So it was a process. Solid foods for the mature who by constant use, you say you take the verses and someone starts to curse or someone tells these filthy jokes and you got all ears and you listen. The next thing you know, at your workplace, everybody else is cussing. So it's no big deal. But it is a big deal.
But I think it's a
reflection on the model of perfection, Jesus. We're not perfect, but we try to be perfect, meaning complete sons and daughters of God. And what we say has ramifications, Al.
It does. Let's take a break. So I had a great call with Dr. McQuillan. She is... researched and found a company she and her husband called Omega XL. And Dad and I have been taking it. It's been a big help for me in terms of back pain, arthritis. It's all about inflammation, you know, basically backing off of it. Still working for you? Because you've been taking out beaver dams. So how's it working?
The only pill I take, and I'm just to give everybody, just think about it. You can be 74-year-old and move tons of earth and fight beavers, and you're going toward 80.
You needed some.
So this stuff, I don't know what's in there, but you know, it's, muscle.
It's extract from mussels from the pristine waters of New Zealand.
Muscle, see, that's the kind of the key there. Muscle.
Well, right.
Muscle.
And you want your muscles working, right? So anyway, it's good for inflammation. Also, it promotes healthy immune Jace, I guess we're going to get you going. So with all your aches and pain, Stone's on it now too.
I'm in my prime.
There you go. So it's backed by 30 years of research. OmegaXL.com/Phil is how you order it. And if you get you buy one bottle, you get a second bottle free because you're coming from our podcast. So they're going to help you out with that. OmegaXL.com/Phil, or you can call 800-844-4888. That's 800-844-4888.
I think it's a reaction. If you read Romans 7, which I love, because we get a lot of questions, and this is question day. A lot of people's like, they're like, you know, how do I stop doing this? Or how, you know, I struggle with making mistakes after I'm a Christian, which is all, you know, everybody does. We're under grace and we mess up. In Romans 7, you know, this is one of the few titles that they put in the Bible that I like. In Romans 7, verse 7, my little heading says struggling with sin.
Yeah.
And it's like you can almost feel the pain and passion in having this old self crucified, yet wanting to come back, and the new self participating in Christ with the Holy Spirit going to heaven.
Remember,
and he
streams of living water will flow from within you. Mm-hmm. What he was saying is there won't be cursing and bitterness. It won't be there.
But he dictates the struggle. He says, I do not understand what I do. For what I want to do, I do not do, but what I hate to do. And if I do what I don't want to do, I agree that the law is good. As it is no longer I myself who do it, but it is sin living in me. I know that nothing good lives in me, that is in my sinful self, for I have the desire to do what is good, but I cannot carry it out. For what I do is not the good I want to do. There's a lot of do's in here. No, the evil I do not want to do, this I keep on doing. Now, if I do what I do not want to do, it is no longer I who do it, but it is sin living in me that does it. I get a visual image of him sitting down talking to a spiritual counselor, which is the Holy Spirit, and he's trying to explain, I'm trying to do this, but I keep doing what I don't want to do.
Because just like a computer or a cell phone, when you upload various materials into your brain, this is the center of your cell phone.
That's where I was going
you
with this.
You upload what your buddies around your workplace, you're uploading what they're saying. They're talking, and you are listening. No matter what you say, I've just uploaded it. It's in my heart, my brain, what they're saying, because I was close enough to hear them. Well, you heard it. Well, it's been uploaded. Well, what are you going to do with it? You take the scriptures and you say, here's what I'm going to do. No matter what happens, I'm going to make sure that what's coming out of my mouth is things like love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. You're like,
but my point is,
you upload and then
the one you feed wins. If you took two fighters, because you know, what do they do? What does a fighter do? Well, he trains, like you said. So what does he do that? Well, he eats the healthiest foods he can find. He ain't eating Wilson weenies and honey buns.
Spiritually speaking, same concept.
They're drinking milk, muscle milk. But look, then they're training. So then when the fight comes, all what's gone in and what's been cultivated and practiced, then it just reacts.
That's right.
So, because I think that's what happens. Look, if you're listening to, you know, funky lyrics and dirty jokes and you're around all week, well, then when you get in a situation where something bad happens, and let's say it may be minor, you hit a golf shot in a golf tournament that goes 70 yards left of where you were aiming, your initial reaction is a four-letter word. You know why? Because I play golf with people, and they'll swing and hit a bad shot, and guess what? Quickly follows.
You've identified
a four-letter word. He didn't make a conscious decision to say, I'm going to say this after I hit a bad shot. Most people, it's a reaction. But it's a reaction to what you're around. So to train yourselves, if you listen to contemporary worship music and you study your Bible and you try to think on, you know, Philippians, the chapter that says whatever's lovely, whatever's not, and you put you're feeding. Well, guess what's going to win? Now, he says at the end of chapter 7 and 24 of Romans, what a wretched man I am. Who will rescue me from this body of death? It said, thanks be to God through Jesus Christ our Lord. And so that is the ultimate victory, to try to, you know, what they say, put yourself in Jesus' shoes, realize you have the Spirit, operate like he does.
Which makes the point of the Hebrew writer, anyone who lives on milk, you're not trained enough to take control of your tongue. Being still an infant is not acquainted with the teaching about righteousness, how to say and do what's right. But solid foods for the mature, who by constant use, like the trainer you're talking about, Jay, have trained themselves to do something that's remarkably simple when you read it, but profound. They've trained themselves. No one else did it for you. You have to do it. Self-training to distinguish good from evil. There it all is right there as far as the way you behave. You say, just train yourself.
Well, and you got to be patient for the process when a baby's born.
Very
much
so.
You don't give meat potatoes, you know, 3 days
into this. This is not coming in 24 hours.
No. Yeah, even though you know. Well, it's hard to tell somebody that. They're like, well, I'm struggling with this and I'm struggling with that. Yep. You don't want to say, well, you're just immature. But
no.
That's exactly what it is.
That's right.
It took you, you know, 20 years for your life to become a complete disaster. And even though God saved you and can save you in a moment,
it's going to take a while to
break this cycle and be fed by the Spirit and the Word.
When I was under the control of the evil one, there was no problem, filth coming out of my mouth, and I didn't think anything about it.
Yeah.
I came to Jesus. Because deep in all of our hearts, in our minds, we know what good speech is, and we know what good living is. We all know. We all know the difference between good and evil. No matter what they say, well, you know, I didn't know. Yeah, they know. We all know.
That's what my point was about obvious, you know. But the few gray areas.
You sear that old conscience, and you sear it, and you sear it. You'll finally get down there at a level where it's almost impossible to get it un.
Well, you'll start unseared. Calling evil good and good evil.
There you go.
Which I see in our culture all the time.
Oh, you see it everywhere.
But you, it's funny, sometimes even it's the setting, because just yesterday I was at the golf course, or maybe it was day four, and we were about to tee off, and there's a large group of people, because Jason and I play as part of a larger group. And this guy comes up, and I met him for the first time, and there's another younger man just kind of not really talking to us, but standing there by. Well, I heard him drop about two or three F-bombs, you know, in whatever conversation was had. It wasn't aimed at me, but I just heard it. And as soon as the guy asked me, he said, "Oh, you're the so I hadn't met you, so you're the pastor of the family, right?" I said, "Well, yeah, that's what they call me, either pastor or the preacher or the beardless one, you know."
Or so the weirdo.
So we start having a conversation about the podcast, and he's like, "Oh man, your family and all this stuff." So I this guy over here got quiet.
Well, I mean,
like,
so
I mean, like, you know, he's like just telling a story laced with F-bombs. Then it was nothing. And then I noticed when this conversation got going, then he started talking again. I never heard another cuss word out of him. So even though his conscience may not be ready for himself, just when he heard you're the pastor and I was standing 3 feet away from him, he stopped, which was interesting to me because I thought, well, if you can stop in front of me, you could probably just stop if you wanted to.
Peter,
well,
if
you, had right. the, you know what I'm saying? You changed the whole culture.
The dynamic. Let's take another break. So people searching on the internet, one of the things that's big out there, Dad, in computer land, is that people from social media, other big tech companies, basically when you go and search, they find out what you're looking for so they can target you with ads and all sorts of other stuff. And, you know, people don't like their information being just peddled out to whoever to be able to come after you. And so
they figure out your profile.
Oh, yeah.
It's kind of like they profile you and then they know what you want and or you, they think you want.
And you've been facially profiled for years, you know, by people on the street. So
people look at you and say,
well, a man such as myself who's never turned on a computer, cell phone, never owned one.
Yeah.
So what's their?
We're just trying to get you to play along with this because
we know this doesn't apply to you.
What's my profile? I'm out.
Well, it would be like you, somebody watching you, and they figure out that you like to duck hunt, and so on the way from here to the duck hole, they put signs out selling decoys, and you're like, huh? How'd that sign?
Yeah.
Come up here.
And you go get in your side-by-side.
In the
side
middle of nowhere, because they want you to buy those decoys.
That's right.
So these people protect people from coming in and kind of sabotaging your brain and selling your ideas and profile. All right, maybe not. Move on. But for everybody else, they kind of get
it. For everybody else, ExpressVPN is an app that basically secures your computer for people to be able to do this. So keeps all your information secure, encrypting 100% of your data. So you want to put this on your devices, phones, computers, even your smart TV. Here's how you contact them. ExpressVPN.com/Phil. That's ExpressVPN.com/Phil. If you go there now, you're going to get 3 extra months free on a 1-year package. So that's ExpressVPN.com/Phil and protect you're searching.
One motivating factor, and it should be, America laughs at it, but we'll see in the end. Peter talks about the destruction of the cosmos. He said, since everything will be destroyed in this way, what kind of people ought you to be? You ought to live holy and godly lives as you look forward to the day of God and speed its coming. You ought to be happy to see him arrive and end it all, and you get out alive. Most don't, but there will be some that do. But someone said, is that motivation, adding scriptures? You take the scriptures and you put them in your brain pan. You said, does that help you? Yeah, it helps me. Well, it strikes fear in me. Watching this coming, you're like, whoa. I'd like rather see the day of Jesus coming when he ends it. I'd like to be on solid ground when he shows up.
Right.
You see what I'm saying?
Oh, yeah.
I think that's a good question for house churches and Bible groups. You just say, how many of you are looking forward to Jesus coming back?
There you go.
That's a good question.
Mm-hmm.
it tends to stop people in their tracks, and they imagine Jesus coming back and saying, am I looking forward to that? Well, some people are saying, I'm really not, or I haven't thought about it. We don't want to be in that.
You're camp. Not going to believe the ones who are going to be screaming and hollering for mercy.
Oh, I'll believe
please
it.
Help me, please help me. Wait a minute.
Yeah. Oh, this is true.
I'd rather be on the right side of this thing.
Well, look, and a good point to make when talking about the scriptures is, and we've made this point before, it's not them in and of themselves. And a lot of people say, well, I know I need to read my Bible more, as if somehow in the act of it is what makes us spiritual, makes us godly, but it's not. You have to be seeking Christ, and through the process of when you find that relationship with Him, the scriptures just add to that and mature you and grow you. Yeah. A lot of people look at it like Jesus was telling the Pharisees, you know, they were great at being able to quote scripture. Unfortunately, as we've said, they missed Jesus. So you got to be a seeker
look,
first.
I see people training their bodies because of the foods they eat, trying to make sure all the way down to make sure that you don't eat, drink bottled water. And make sure you don't eat, have too much cholesterol and too many carbohydrates. And yeah, they've got all these things they take for bodies, but they all die.
Yeah.
And most of them die at about the given average.
Yep.
You know, 77, 78 for a male, 82 for a woman. We're lengthening our life a little bit. Right now they say it's slipping a little, opioids, whatever. But you look at that and you say, no matter what you do for body beautiful, it's going to shrivel up and get wrinkly. And
People don't want to talk about that.
Well, they don't.
Well, my point is, if you're going to spend that much time on foodstuffs, you at least ought to look at it from a spiritual perspective.
It's a
maybe,
great point.
Maybe try this.
It's a great point.
If we put into practice all the training and the eating, you know, which has become an obsession. If we just put that into the spiritual arena.
Yeah.
You just think, you want to change the culture?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you think about how much you work out. Most people who are really in shape that work out all the time, I usually bring up and they always get offended.
I'm not knocking them.
I'm not either. I'm perfectly fine, but I will bring up and it's always kind of awkward. I was like, you need to have that same time and effort on the spiritual side. It needs to be an equal balance.
I had a mother and father one time come to me.
I was hoping you'd tell us.
Their brother, and they said, Phil, we can't do anything with our son. He was about 20, 22, young. I mean, I'm talking about this dude was solid
torqued.
Muscle.
He was torqued.
He was torqued up, narrow waist. He was a bull. Iron. He pumped iron, you know, doing flips. He had it down.
doing flips.
And I would look at it. I mean, he was so torqued up that when he walked by, you noticed it.
Yeah.
Well, I was going out across the parking lot one time after church services. His mother and father said, see if you can do something. Maybe plant a little seed.
Which, by the way, Dad, it's a great time to interject this. You're so often like people's like, it's the last –
It's last chance.
If we could just get him in front of Phil.
So he said, give him a try. If you find, you know, please find time to put him in your schedule. I said, okay. So about a month or two later, I'm walking across the parking lot, and I spot him. He's over there leaning up against the car. I walked up and I said, good night. I said, you talk about muscles. I said, man.
He was swelling when you said
and look,
it.
Look, I touched his arm, he just flexed it a little bit. I said, man, at the muscles. I said, hey, let me ask you something. What's going to happen, though, when all them muscles end up in a 6-foot hole? I don't care how talked up you are. You're going into a hole in the ground.
Your exact line, Dad, was, you said, you've got quite the physique, and he grinned when you said it. Yeah. You said, how are you going to get it out of the ground? That was the
how
way
you
put
it, out of the
which
ground.
Is so powerful.
And he looked at me. He got serious then. And I said, Rick, we need to talk. He said, yeah. I said, be there Friday. I said, come down Friday. We'll talk it over. He comes down. I went through the gospel. God loves him. Jesus died for him, removed your sin, muscle and all. Whether you're torqued up or whether you're just as skinny as a rail, he'll remove your sin. And look, he would smile at the end of it. He said, take me to the river. So I walked down there, and, you know, when you grabbed him, it was just like grabbing a knot. But down he went and up he came. But he just needed somebody to say, dude, nudge. You torqued up, you did well, you're a hulk of a man, but it's not going to last.
That's right.
Yeah.
So it that's worked. A good story.
Well, yeah. It reminds us of what really does matter most. And you have to tell people that. You have to be consistent with that out there because, look, everybody's going to face this thing. And you know, I thought it was interesting during the coronavirus, you kept seeing all these science, just follow the science. We're listening to the science, and the science is going to lead us, and it's all about the science.
Yeah.
Which was really interesting because I thought, you know, science is just theories that people have, and then they test them, and sometimes they work and sometimes they don't. Science is very it's not really what you want to put all your hope in. It's a very fluid situation.
I would hate to be in a position to where the only chance I could come up with is maybe he's not there. Just maybe. He may not be there.
Right.
My question always is, but what if he is?
That's right.
So and I can't afford to take the chance.
And how do we explain what it looks like around us?
You betcha.
Let's take another break. So, Dad, this our next sponsor is really interesting because this was a book that you talked about on the podcast that you read. And because we talked about it, he's now sponsoring our podcast. And so we want to let other people know about it so they can get the book. It's Yo Mama Wasn't a Monkey.
Yeah.
You remember that book?
Yep.
It's by Tex Cyrus.
Good book.
And basically, you know, it answers the big question, is there a God or do we descend from monkeys, which is kind of the whole concept of evolution.
By the way, he's some kind of medical doctor, I think.
Yeah, it doesn't say here.
I believe he's a medical doctor.
But it says here, this is a memoir, really. So he discusses his life.
Yeah, a medical doctor. Yeah.
Some tragedies that were in his life. And it kind of led him to these bigger questions, which I thought was really – and I love the name of it because it sounds like something you would have come up with.
Yeah.
Your mama wasn't a monkey. So anyway, we want you guys to check it out. You can purchase the book, Your Mama Wasn't a Monkey by Tex Cyrus on Amazon.com. So Dad's read it. He recommends it, and we think you'll like it. Check it out.
I remember filling a duck blind one time. We had somebody in there that, you know, we used to make biscuits every day in the duck blind, which now we, you know, sometimes we may. But I remember we had somebody in there that was talking about what was in a biscuit, what was wrong with it. Not, you know, I mean, I'm hunting, I'm hungry. I smell the biscuit. This is the coolest thing. It's one of the greatest things you can do in my mind.
A hot biscuit and a cold.
Figure out. Remember, y'all had these weird biscuit makers that they closed.
That was Max, yeah.
And you just put them on any kind of fire, and it's like in 10 minutes, you got biscuits. And I mean, they're
just like they're fresh out of the oven.
Yeah. Who invented that? But awesome.
Yep.
And somebody was downing biscuits, like saying, well, you know, they say, you know, take 5 years off your life and all the ingredients. Bill's over there just being, you know, being quiet. I thought, what's he going to think about this? Because mainly we are eating the biscuits to get to the jelly, which because Phil's a, you know, famous jelly man.
Jelly aficionado.
Phil said, hey, whatever his name was, he said, you never want to get to be 50, 60 years old and say to yourself, I should have ate that biscuit. And everybody hesitated and then busted out laughing.
A roar.
And so then we're eating biscuits, them too. And I was like, you know, it really wasn't a profound statement, but it's like, you know, this is, we're eating this biscuit and we're going to enjoy it too. So I think you got to show, I mean, I'm all for seeing what's healthy and trying to be healthy lives, but I'm at the expense of your spiritual life, number one. That's just stupid.
Yep.
If you're not putting the same amount of time into eternity in character, well, that's just stupid to me.
A lot of people worship it like the whole, whether it's the exercise or the, you know, the food gods, I call them, where everything just becomes about whatever they're doing. You know, like it's, you know, it just becomes their thing.
But it becomes your motivation too. You know what I've noticed? Because we've all dealt with a lot of people on an individual basis. I've noticed a lot of women and men who all of a sudden they start eating right and they start getting in shape.
Yep.
And you know, you're, everybody's thinking, this is awesome. You look fantastic. And then when you set them on the couch, you find out that they were doing it because they were having an affair. And that was the driving motivation, because all of a sudden, the physical was now the old pull.
Body beautiful took
over. Well, right. Now we're getting down the situation. So here I am thinking, now, wait a minute. I'm all for getting in shape. I'm all for you feeling better about yourself. But you've turned that into something that's wrecking your life and
idolatry.
Your family.
Idolatry.
And it's sinful behavior. Let's stick to the working out and gearing that, you know, toward the husband or whatever. But so I'm just saying, it, you can't take it at face value, because, like, in the world, they're like, oh, isn't this great? She's bettering herself, or he's, you know, he's doing, well, yeah, it's got a hook in it. That particular act had a hook in it.
Say what they will, Al. I've been saying this for years. Where the Jesus rate is high,
we're back on this.
The crime rate is low.
The sin rate, you said. I like
where
sin
the crime rate,
rate
is high.
I'd Jesus actually rate like to see some low. Stats on always. This or some numbers.
It's
rule,
just from observation.
I know, but you live in the middle of nowhere and you don't go out. But I'll probably agree.
Look
just
at our
because
culture. Look at our culture, Jason. Tell me what you think.
The world's a big place, but I think the principles that are applying would probably be true, but I just don't have I don't know how to study that, is all I'm saying.
I do, just observation.
He's a man of science.
I just look and see.
Yeah, I would love for somebody to do a study, but unfortunately in our society, they don't do studies.
Well, I know there are good people in crime areas, unfortunately, that are trapped there, and that's unfortunate in this current climate. But agree that there are a lot of sinful people running around making life miserable for a lot of people in the current climate. We see it every day. But to your point a minute ago, Jase, you're right. Lisa and I have worked with, obviously, we work with a lot of people who have had affairs and things like that. And I can't tell you how many times these things will come on the heels of someone making a big physical transformation. It's like all of a sudden something kicked into them. It's like, and then all of a sudden they're kind of out there in a way they wouldn't have been before. They're just looking at it through the wrong lens. And
I brought that up because I see it. So
I see it
all of a sudden their dress starts changing. They start showing more of their body because they want to show it all.
Right.
And I'm like, well, you're attracting. This is not the type of attention. Mm. If you want to show more of your body, go home with your husband or, you know,
or your wife.
And show it off to them. And have a big time. God sanctioned, go for it. But that's not, in a lot of cases, what's happening. You're familiar with that, too.
Oh, yeah.
So my point is, we're all into healthy things that make you have a healthy life. But what separates us from the world, it's what you're doing with that that's more important. If you're using it as a, you know, some kind of weapon to destroy your family and, you know, disrupt your kids and lose your eternal salvation. Well, I'm not sanctioning that. In the grand scheme of things, that's really small to what's
right.
The kind of food you're putting in your spiritual life, you know? And I mean, look, if we convert someone who's 300 pounds overweight, obviously we're going to get to making better, healthy decisions. But I know one thing, if they have the Spirit of God and they have the greatest manual in the history of the planet to help you make better decisions, you're going to be way more on the right road to making that kind of decision than you were just saying, hey, why don't you eat healthy, you know, so you'll get 10 more years on the earth.
Or that becoming your thing. There was a question that I wanted. I'm going to ask the question and we'll take a break and we'll come back and try to deal with it. This is interesting because we get a lot of questions like this. This is from Robert. And I think the problem with Robert, with the question as you framed it, is that you're looking at it from the wrong perspective. But here's what he said. Why would God allow a person to be born, which right off the bat, there's a problem with that, but that lives an unrepentant life and eventually goes to hell? If God knows they are eventually going to hell and going to suffer for eternity, why would he even allow it?
Heard it thousands of times.
And then he even comes back with what I would have said anyway. Wouldn't we refuse to reproduce and have kids if we knew they were going to hell? We would break our hearts the whole time. So let's take a break and then we'll tackle that.
Hi, it's Jason Whitlock. Have you secured your spot for Roll Call 2.0? My annual men's summit in Nashville, Tennessee. Are you looking for an opportunity to fellowship with other believers, to come together across the identity lines the left have drawn to divide us? Join me, country music star John Rich, and Blaze founder Glenn Beck in Nashville on Saturday, June 1st for Roll Call 2.0. We're going to listen to great music, eat fantastic barbecue, and hear inspiring speeches from myself, Glenn Beck, North Carolina Lieutenant Governor Mark Robinson, Pastor E.W. Jackson, and many more. Let's quit letting the satanic left sift us like wheat. Let's come together as men and talk about the sacrifices we must make to restore the unity and shared values that made our country the envy of the world. Visit fearlessarmyrollcall.com to secure your spot.
I've heard this question many times. It's usually coming from a place of trying to put God in our understanding. Because you got to remember, the first thing I always say to that question is, I don't even answer the question because I'm like, you're trying to put God on a timeline. Yep. Here's the problem with that. He doesn't time. It's just a line. There's no timeline. So if you have a being who is bigger than before, present, and after, he's bigger than those three concepts.
Correct.
So the only time exists is here. So we look at something like, well, if he knew beforehand what was going to happen after, well, why didn't he? He's only using the phraseology in the Bible for our benefit.
Correct.
It's not before, during, or after. It just is. So my quick response would be, we've been studying John. There's somewhere in John 7, it says something about chooses. Let's see, 7. Now, he was making a different point, but I just want to use this illustration. John 7. 17, it says, Jesus says, if anyone chooses to do God's will, he will find out whether my teaching comes from God or whether I speak on my own. And all my point is, well, God already knows what we're going to choose. So my question in response to his question would be, well, why did Jesus say that?
Correct.
Because he already knows who chose what.
Right.
Well, why did he say that? The process was his idea to show his love and to have a family, an eternal family, because that is his nature. So, you know, you can get into other areas of, you don't really understand good unless you had evil. You don't understand glory unless you had dishonor. There's always two sides of this thing for you to realize where you're at, which I think that's ultimately why this operates the way it does.
So I think you're right. And there's two things that I see in the question. One is, there is the importance of choice. God gave us choice. We were created to choose, both to that verse, right, but the garden, all of it. So choice is our part in this. And so it's not like he takes that choice away, because Robert, the way you framed the question was, he would give us no choice if he only created us to do those that would only go to heaven. I mean, right, you have to make a choice. Number two is the importance of life. Because think about this. To answer the question, that's exactly what God did. He intervened in time by Jesus coming here. Look, he knew what was going to happen to Jesus. He knew he was going to suffer. He knew he was going to die.
Well, even he knew saying all that. It's like he knew, but he just knows. He just interjected himself as a man, but the whole plan has already happened.
That's right.
Why some troubling verses in the Bible, they're not troubling if you look at it from God's perspective. Like the one in Ephesians 2 where it says, he seated us with him in the heavenly realms. Well, nobody wants to talk about that.
Right.
Because, well, it's a translation issue. Or no, in his mind, we're seated with him in the heavenly realms.
He can already see beyond our time.
Before we even got here. Right. That's why your heart is so important. You're not going to trick God. But I would recommend to Robert is he go back. We did a whole podcast about Judas because there was a similar question.
Yep.
Well, why, you know, is Judas, what's the deal with that?
It didn't seem fair because you know, he kept warning about what was going to happen. It didn't seem fair to Judas. It was almost like, well, he didn't have a chance to not.
Yeah,
to
they betray. Think he didn't have a choice. He was just created. Well, I think go back and listen to that, and you'll see our take on. To me, it's the opposite. The fact that Judas, he was chosen as one of the chosen 12, that he washed his feet, that he loved him, I think shows that God's nature, even those who don't want to choose, you get to live. You get the chance.
That's right.
You know, and everybody, you don't want to surrender. Even though he knows the ones who didn't, there's something about this process, all of us going through it, and I mean process, life. There's something about life, whether people decide to, you know, to not make the most of it or they embrace Jesus. There's something in that battle that we all share that experience, it ultimately is victory.
Yep. Well, God has provided ways for a person. He said, if he already knew there's going to hell, first of all, they made the decision. I don't care what you say, God. He's provided the manual. He's provided the ones such as ourselves to proclaim. I declare to you, brothers, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, nor does the perishable, that's every one of us, including, what's that guy's name?
Robert.
Robert, you're perishable, my man.
1 Corinthians 15.
Yep. The perishable that can't inherit the imperishable, Robert. Listen, I tell you a mystery, and you ask the question, so it's a mystery to you. We will not all sleep. That's when you die. But we will all be changed in a flash, in the twinkling of an eye at the last trumpet. Here comes Jesus back, and if you've died, all the ones in the grave, they're coming back to life, some to hell, some to heaven. The trumpet will sound, the dead will be raised, the sons of God and daughters, imperishable, and we will be changed to live in a different realm, an eternal one. For the perishable, that's what we are now, Robert, must clothe itself with the imperishable. That's what we'll be. And the mortal, the imperishable, and the mortal with immortality. When the perishable has been clothed with the imperishable and the mortal with immortality, then the saying that is written will come true. Death has been swallowed up in victory. Where, O death, is your victory? Where, O death, is your sting? Because it comes upon all of us. The sting of death is sin. That's what causes it. Separates from God. God sent Jesus to solve it for you. And the power of sin is the law. You never kept the law, Robert, and I didn't either. You made a conscious decision to break it. But thanks be to God, he gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, dear brothers, stand firm. Let nothing move you. Immortality's on the line here. Always give yourself fully to the work of the Lord, which we're doing right now, because you know that your labor in the Lord is not in vain. There's an escape hatch that God has fixed so that all can escape if they want to. But it's their choice, like you said, Al. It's their choice to make.
I want to bring up in the last minute that we have Romans 8, which I think answers the question directly. But, you know, it's this question of one of you will say to me, this is Romans 8:19, why does God still blame us for who resists his will? And he says, but who are you, oh man, to talk back to God? Shall what is formed say to him who formed it? Why did you make me like this? Does not the potter have the right to make out of the same lump of clay some pottery for noble and some for common use?
That answers Robert's question.
And then it says, what if God, choosing to show his wrath and making his power known, bore with great patience the objects of wrath prepared for destruction? What if he did this to make the riches of his glory known to the objects of his mercy, whom he prepared in advance for glory? Even us. So my point is, you read that, you think, ultimately, it's his call. We don't have a better explanation for life and where we're going. I think some of this will be made a little more clear once we're all standing literally in the presence of God. But to me, I think there's something to the process of the good and the bad and having an understanding of true victory. You wouldn't know if you weren't competing and someone didn't lose. Well, how would you know what it was to win?
Yeah,
that's right.
You couldn't win if you couldn't lose.
He made us. He made us in His image, and He made us. And 2 Peter 3 says He doesn't want anyone to perish, but everyone to choose Him. And so,
just make sure you choose victory in Jesus. Romans.
Hey,
7.
Robert, are you listed, boy?
Choose wisely. So, thank you, Robert. Thank you, Bobby, because we were talking about your question about struggle. We first started the podcast. I'll close out by reminding you that Dad's got a new book, Jesus Politics, that's going to be coming out. It's going to be released on August the 4th, but you can pre-order, and we'd like for you to pre-order. It helps us to be able to promote the book.
Pre-order, and Miss Kay made coconut pies today.
Ooh, so that's pretty good.
That's why I took off my earphones.
JesusPoliticsBook.com is where you go. The first 2,000, you get a signed copy. Also, you get to read the first few chapters of the book. They have it available if you'll pre-order your copy today. So thank you, Unashamed Nation. Thank you for listening to us.
So we're so glad you guys were with us today. You can subscribe on iTunes or Spotify or YouTube or Facebook, and be sure and rate us on iTunes so that other people can know about the podcast.